is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It's January 2019. Zalmay Khalilzad, representing the Trump administration, is telling friends that he has a peace deal with the Taliban. This note is a way to begin the conversation with two authors, Jerry Dunleavy and James Hassan, of a new book, Kabul, the untold story of Biden's fiasco and the American warriors who fought to the end. Jerry Dunleavy is helping the investigation by the House Foreign Affairs Committee into the withdrawal from Afghanistan. James Hassan, former Army captain, graduate of U.S. Army Ranger School, received the Bronze Star for his combat, for his conduct in Afghanistan and afterwards. Gentlemen, I begin with Zalmay Khalilzad because though he has served several administrations, right now he's no longer prominent in the conversation about Afghanistan. Jerry, what do we need to know about him and why he was tasked by several presidents to represent the United States in that part of the world? Good evening to you, Jerry.
Good evening. So Zalmay Khalilzad, known colloquially just as Zal by the people close to him, is a key figure in why things went so wrong in the final years in Afghanistan. He had, you know, spent many years as a diplomat on behalf of the United States, not just in Afghanistan but in Iraq as well. But he was picked by the Trump administration to help lead peace talks with the Taliban. And Zal very notably largely cut the Afghan Republic and the Afghan government out of those discussions with the Taliban. And so in our book, Kabul, we lay out that, you know, he ultimately played a very negative and, you know, according to the people that had to work with him back both in the U.S. government and in the Afghan government, played a pretty pernicious role in the way that things went down. And we make no sort of bones about it in our book that the Doha agreement that he ended up striking in early 2020 was a pretty bad deal. And the Biden administration, when they came into power in January of 2021, they decided to keep Zal on. And various people in the Biden administration, including Secretary of State Antony Blinken, praised the vital work that he had been doing. Part of why Zal was so problematic was the Afghan government didn't trust him. A lot of people in the U.S. government didn't particularly trust him. And he seemed to misunderstand, I think, at the very least, the intentions of the Taliban, downplaying what the Taliban wanted, claiming that the Taliban wasn't interested in a military victory, telling his Afghan government's counterparts that he had cornered the Taliban. And obviously, we saw how that all came falling down in 2021. Ultimately, the debacle that we saw in August 2021 with Americans left behind, Afghans left behind, the Taliban back in power, ultimately that leads to the defeat of President Biden and his decision to withdraw without coming up with a plan for how to stop all of the negative repercussions. But Zal played a big role in that. And, you know, the Biden administration ultimately owns that because they decided to keep Zal on and continue to trust Zal in that role.
James, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, comes into office about this time, 2019. And it was the opinion of the DOD, according to their reports, that it might be possible to maintain order by keeping 2,500 to 3,500 troops. I believe Mr. Trump even talked about it. Is that a realistic number that could have maintained order, at least in Kabul, for the indefinite future, James?
Yeah, I believe it was. And one thing that's important to note is that the military leadership from you know, from the people in the Pentagon at the top brass all the way down to the guys, you know, in Afghanistan at the time, senior non-commissioned officers and senior leaders all wanted to keep Bagram Air Base. They wanted to keep Bagram as the central hub of the evacuation. To rewind a little bit, if we had kept forces in the country, the military wanted ideally 3,500, but they said that they could get it done with 2,200. And what that would entail is keeping our embassy open in Kabul and keeping Hamid Karzai International Airport, HKIA, open, and then running almost all of our operations out of Bagram. And the reason why Bagram is so important, and we'll get to that when we talk about the, President Biden, literally, President Biden's decision to abandon Bagram. But the reason why Bagram is so crucial is because it's eminently defensible. It was built by the Soviets when they were in Afghanistan. It has all kinds of standoff distance in terms of open terrain surrounding it, which makes it very difficult to attack. And it has just a plethora of runways where you can operate unmanned assets. You can operate flights in and out of the country and really kind of, at the very least, hold a protective radius around Kabul and around, you know, Bagram itself, because they're not geographically that far away. So it was absolutely a realistic estimate. And when President Biden decided to withdraw, the military, I think pleaded is the right word, to have the evacuation conducted out of Bagram. President Biden decided that it wasn't going to happen because he wanted a maximum of 600 U.S. troops in the country, beginning, you know, with kind of the summer of 2021. And you simply can't hold Bagram with 600 troops. And because he made a politically calculated decision that he only wanted 600, we had to give up Bagram. And I'm sure, as we'll get to at some point, also abandoned the prison that was housing thousands of ISIS fighters, dozens of Al-Qaeda terrorists, and tens of thousands of, or thousands more, I should say, Taliban fighters.
Yes, there's a deal of foreshadowing in the stories we're telling here. Quickly, Jerry, through February and March, the president was consulting with such as Barack Obama, the former president whom he served, and Blinken was consulting with NATO, our allies in NATO, the UK, Australia, and others. Was there unanimity about this decision that we could leave Afghanistan? Quickly, we have a couple of minutes.
No, there wasn't unanimity. NATO, of course, went to Afghanistan to help the United States after 9/11. And NATO very much did not want to do a rapid withdrawal from Afghanistan. At the time, NATO forces actually largely outnumbered U.S. forces in the country. And they told Antony Blinken in no uncertain terms in the late winter, early spring of 2021, that to do this would be a disaster. And Blinken actually commented that he was hit with quadraphonic sound, which is sort of from all four corners from NATO telling them that this would be a disaster. But, President Biden was not willing to listen to what NATO wanted to do. And so with the United States leaving, NATO decided to leave as well. But it's certainly not something that our NATO partners thought would be a good idea. And you could see in August 2021 how the NATO alliance looked like it was in a bit of a shambles with the disaster that unfolded. And that was due to strong arming from President Biden himself.
The book is Kabul, the untold story of Biden's fiasco and the American warriors who fought to the end. Bagram, next. Jerry Dunleavy, James Hassel. I'm John Hassel.